Coming up next, we'll be speaking with Brenda Batista and Mark Rush from the Bushwick School for Social Justice. But first, I just wanted to extend a welcome to our newest collective members, John Smith and Louis Reyes. Hey guys. They've been joining us lately. We received some money from the John Dewey Foundation at University of Vermont, and so they've been participating in our training. And so Louis and I worked on the Bushwick case for today, and Sean is working on a segment that she's going to tell us a little bit about, and you'll be bringing that to us probably next week, right?
Probably, most likely, yes.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about Ramona Moore?
I can. Ramona Moore and I graduated from Brooklyn College Academy High School together. Ramona went on to attend high school at Hunter College. The rape and murder of Ramona Moore went unnoticed for 2 weeks in East Flatbush, Brooklyn, Canarsie, Flatlands area. Ramona Moore, her body was found 2 blocks from her house, although it took 2 weeks for the police to find her. Police gave no reason for her prolonged case as a missing person. So Hunter students are organizing and with Ramona's family. Stay tuned for future shows and a discussion of mobilizing for Ramona Moore. If you want more information, you can contact the Ramona Moore campaign at moreinfo@post.com, moreinfo@post.com. Thanks.
And so that gives us a good idea of what you're working on, but why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are?
I'm Ramona Moore's friend. I'm a student at Brooklyn College. I'm a new collective member at WBAI. Other than that, I am a student, and I'm trying to learn, and I'm a Brooklyn resident, and I'm 20, and I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
And it's been really fun at the training, and so we're glad you're joining us. And Louis, same thing. Tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I am currently working with the Yaya Youth Network, Youth Activism, Youth Allies. Also working with young people from different ages at Project Reach, fighting the issues of ageism, sexism, homophobia, racism, and also currently working, you know, with my poetry, music, Misfits Inc., Loophole Records, and just trying to get the message out there through music and through poems, and that's about it. Thank you for having me.
All right, great. So we're going to be hearing a lot of pieces from some of the new trainees that have joined us in the coming weeks. And again, you're listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. And right now we're sitting here with Mark and Brenda from the new Bushwick School for Social Justice. So before we speak to them, though, I want to play you a few voices. Louis and I were at the Make the Road by Walking training that was run for some of the incoming ninth graders yesterday. And what you're going to be listening to is a clip of Sarah and Stephanie and Myra, who are all incoming students. To the Bushwick School for Social Justice.
I really decided to come to school because I like the goal to help other people and to, like, come here and just meet new people and help out and see what you can do in the neighborhood and also improve what's going on to make a better place.
I just decided to come to Bushwick because I think it's going to be a nice community and to work with other new people, to meet friends.
The Bushwick School seems kind of exciting, and to be the first class to graduate and the first class to do everything, like, very, very, it's like so happy that I got into it, and I just look forward to being in the school. The creators of the school came to our class, like every class, every eighth grade class, and they just seemed very interested. They stand in front of our class and they just told us about the school, and they showed us, like, on the board, they drew, like, stuff about the school, and they gave us applications. They said that the school is, like, before Bushwick School, to me, it was just, like, you know, not a good school. But now, since it's new and there's new creators, it's, like, a better school.
Go here because I was just looking for school so I can go to when I choose this one because it's, like, I want to be a politician, and as a way that I can help around people, and it can help me grow.
Social justice to me means that to work with new people, create a better school, new education, a new community, working together.
Social justice means, like, you're not alone in things and that you can have, like, a lot of people back you up in what you really decide to do and make a better decision. Just, like, make justice.
Those were the voices of youth who were getting ready to enter the Bushwick School for Social Justice this fall. The Bushwick School for Social Justice is one of three New Century High Schools housed in the old Bushwick High School, along with the Harbor School and the Academy of Urban Planning. Joining us in the studio to talk about the school are teacher Mark Rush and community organizer Brenda Batista, both of whom have been involved in efforts to design the school.
Mark, Brenda, welcome. Thanks for coming down today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So first, if you could kind of just give us an overview, tell us a little about this new school and what are some of the challenges you're facing as you're gearing up for the fall. Mark, do you want to start?
Sure.
And tell us who you are.
Okay. My name's Mark Rush. I'm a teacher, and I was a member of the planning team for the school. I've taught in East New York for 5 years and am excited about moving one neighborhood over to Bushwick to work in this new exciting project. We've been working on the design of the school for about 8 months, and the challenges we're facing now is sort of taking the ideas and all the plans that we talked about over the last 8 months and making that a real thing that's ready to go in September. And I think maybe the biggest challenge has probably been maybe taking our ideas, which can get very lofty and idealistic, and running up against the wall of the Board of Ed and reality, and that's been a real challenge to create something innovative and creative and authentic, but do it in a framework that we have to stay within.
So maybe you could flesh that out a little. Sure. Give us an example of what's something lofty and idealistic you tried that where you're bumping up against rules and regulations in the Board of Ed.
Well, one challenge we're facing now is that we've designed a curriculum that we think is creative and relevant and different, and while being challenging at the same time, and we have new mandates from the Board of Ed that severely limit our ability to be creative. There's mandates like Ramp Up to Literacy and the new Math A blocked curriculum that places restrictions on how creative you can get with your programming and your scheduling.
So they're prescribing particular books for you that you have to read and that you have to spend certain blocks of the day doing certain types of curriculum. Is that right?
That's correct.
And so, Brenda.
Hi.
So you're a community organizer and a high school student yourself, and you've been working with the students who are incoming to the school running a summer training. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. We have a training, which is like a summer program started last week, and it's twice a week, Thursdays and Fridays from 2 to 5, and we actually have some students coming, and we teach them about leadership, taking part in the community, having part of the school, feeling comfortable with other students, meeting their teachers, and having trips, and meeting other youth organizers and stuff like that.
And so when you say leadership, what do you mean? What kinds of things are you trying to teach them about? And how is it different? What's the social justice spin you're putting on this?
The kind of leadership was actually giving them is like trying to let them know that they have a voice and they can stand up for what they believe. And if that they need, they could do anything if they want to. And they just have to stand up there and feel like comfortable with it and get people. And I was talking to them about not only walking to a place with one person, but getting more people to feel more power and show them what's the meaning of power and how can they use it.
And Mark, I also wanted to ask you a little bit more about when you were originally working with the Bushwick community, how did you identify that you needed a school for social justice?
Well, that's a good question. I think in many respects, we shouldn't need schools for social justice. Every school should be a school for social justice. And every community perhaps needs a school for social justice. We were lucky enough to hook up with Make the Road by Walking in Bushwick when the founders of the school, who had the original idea that formed the school, wanted to do a school for social justice and sought out organizations that were doing similar work. And Make the Road by Walking is one of the most exciting, authentic groups that we found out about, and that's how we ended up in Bushwick.
So how does the Bushwick School for Social Justice, how is it different from a nonprofit organization or different from a regular high school? I'm a little unclear as how the lines are crossed or what makes it specifically.
Well, one of the things we knew in starting up the school is how important community partners are to the success of the school and to the student experience. And I could talk about their role in the school. One of the things they'll be doing, for example, is facilitating a town hall meeting every week. And the students will actually run that town hall meeting. They'll be responsible for the agenda and whatever's going on during that hour to an hour and a half weekly meeting that includes the entire school community. Make the Road, who has great experience in organizing and youth activism, will be helping the students organize that. So that's one way that they'll be involved in the school on a weekly basis, if not daily.
Are there other examples you could give us in terms of curriculum or what you'll be doing with the students?
Sure. There are members of Make the Road by Walking that will be coming in on a fairly regular basis to help with curriculum. And we are in the process of writing curriculum now that includes a lot of issues that don't end up in traditional school curriculum. We have a heavy emphasis on issues around gender and race and violence, class, and we want to infuse those into the curriculum so that the kids become conversant with those terms. And then we hope that as we move them into the 10th, 11th, 12th grade, that they become the young leaders, activists that go out and continue the struggle.
Right. And I kind of noticed when I was spending some time at Make the Road yesterday that some of the ninth graders were a little fuzzy on what social justice meant.
Right.
They're just starting to learn about it. I was asking them if anyone in their family was an activist. Most of them said, no, not really. How are you going to make this appealing and relevant to ninth graders?
Well, maybe Brenda can talk about how it's appealing and relevant to her, and then I could certainly.
It's basically once in a while you just start feeling it. It's just a feeling of, you know, having to fight for what you believe in. The students actually are coming to a place where now they're getting with other people who actually fight for what they believe and organize, and they feel comfortable, and now they like the things we do with them make them feel excited and want to be more and come tomorrow and, you know, have more things. And it's just like a way of feeding them, like just like the TV feeds them with garbage stuff, you know, we could feed them too. It's just a way matter of just outreaching to them and speaking the way they want to.
And that was Brenda Batista. And Lewis, I think you can speak to that as well. I mean, you've been a very active member of the Bushwick community. How did you get roped into learning about social justice and becoming an activist?
Good question. Actually, I feel that I've been an activist and an organizer my whole life. I just didn't know the term. As a, you know, child growing up in the foster care system, I've always questioned and I've always kind of like fought against the system. I just never considered myself to be an activist or an organizer. And I think when a young man approached me about Make the Road and told me to come through and gave me a flyer, this was the foundation to what I wanted to solve. And I really got to learn the steps to what it took for me to become an organizer and deal with my personal situation as well as help others who wanted to deal with the same situation but didn't know how, and just kind of molded me into that figure of being a leader and outreaching to those young men and women who are struggling out there in the foster care system. And one thing just led to another, and now it's part of my life. It's who I am.
So either Brenda or Lewis, what do you think those first steps are going to be, though, to really get those ninth graders interested in this curriculum and this school?
It's going to be hard, like, you know, getting into know. Now it seems easy because they can relate to us and stuff like that. They could feel comfortable talking to us. But once we have more students, it's going to be hard. That's why we're preparing those students in this group so they could take a lead and help us in the way of, you know, providing good leaders and stuff like that, you know. So I think it's a hard step, but, you know, along the way it's more easy and it's very good to have it, you know.
I actually have a question for Mark, but before the question, may I say that I think it is important to also believe in the students. It's just really important to have patience and understand the students, and just really outreach and help them with whatever problems they need. Sometimes teachers need to become parents as well. And my question to Mark is, what mechanisms are in place to ensure that parents or community members have an oversight about the administration?
Well, one thing that we've done is we've thought long and hard about different systems, committees that will provide a voice for every member of the school community. One obvious one is the leadership team that all schools are supposed to have. And I've worked in schools where those don't actually work very well, so we want to make sure that we have an active and vocal leadership team that is actually functioning. We'd love to have the strongest PTA in the world, and I think Make the Road, as in a lot of areas, is going to be incredibly helpful there. We've worked with the parent who is on the planning team for the school is actually a parent organizer at Make the Road. We have a liaison from Make the Road who will be in the building daily, who will be working with the parent coordinator, and we place a high emphasis on that. And so I think we have the people in place to sort of make that happen, and all the staff, you know, strongly believes that parents, community partners are all incredibly important.
Again, that was Mark Rush, and you're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, and we'll be back with more from Mark and Brenda from the Bushwick School for Social Justice.
Creative Unity Collective, alternating Friday nights, midnight to 3, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Once upon a time when we were colored, stolen from the mother. 400 years later, Mr. Charlie's on some other. Take this as an affirmative act, to slap back the whack. Catch brothers, sisters who were falling through the cracks. Creativity and unity, the keys to maintain our humanity and our sanity. No vanity, materialism, big willy crap. Just progressive elevation, can I get a soul clap? Keep it going on. CUC, keep it going on. Keep it going on.
You're listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM, and we're here in the studio today with Mark Rush and Brenda Batista, and it's me, Leanne Lewis, and Sean hosting, and we've been just talking about the Bushwick School for Social Justice, which is opening this fall. So, Mark, one of the things I wanted to ask you, first, maybe you would clarify a little bit the relationship between the school and Make the Road by Walking. I think a lot of us are so familiar with that organization, we didn't even really adequately explain what Make the Road does. So maybe you could give us a little info on that first.
Well, Make the Road by Walking is a community organizing group, that nonprofit that's in Bushwick. They've been there for, I believe, over 5 years. They are our lead partner. So they have seats on the leadership team. They were integral to the planning process. Four members of Make the Road by Walking were on the planning team and worked with the teachers and the administrator for over 8 months. And they act as the fiscal conduit for the New Visions grant money, and will, like I mentioned, have a liaison who works in the building doing the facilitating for advisory and for the town hall meetings.
And so it's a pretty unusual situation, though. This is a fairly radical organizing group, and then they're working within the system with these new vision schools, which are funded by some pretty mainstream sources, right?
That's right.
And I also wanted to ask you, will your students be required to take high-stakes tests, or are they exempted from those?
No. When I spoke earlier about some of the realities, the Regents is certainly a reality that we've had to deal with, and we're not exempt from the Regents, and that has a huge impact on writing curriculum and the, you know, the everyday life of the students. It's just a reality that we have to work with them at this point.
And so how do you get creative? What do you do to kind of work around that? I mean, you need to meet these requirements, at least in the short term, until you do some organizing. I know there are other schools that are organizing to have portfolio assessments in place instead of testing in schools. But until you do that, what are some of the creative things you'll be doing to meet the requirements, but also make the curriculum relevant, make it geared towards social justice?
Well, I think that you can actually prepare students for the test without teaching to the test. And when we write curriculum, that's what we're trying to do. We try to spend maybe more time on specific topics and go in depth as opposed to skimming along the surface of, let's say, U.S. history. For example, we're spending a great deal of time on in an American History Humanities course on pre-contact with Native Americans and Taínos prior to Columbus's arrival, and that stuff is not on the regions. And that can be seen as risky, but I think in the long term, that sort of grounding is important, and a better thought out history curriculum that is relevant to the students' lives is going to pay off in the long run.
What are the disciplinary measures for bad behavior?
Well, there's lots of questions like that, like what is our discipline code, what is our dress code, and we're not putting those off, but one of the things that we strongly believe in is those are issues that the school community decides. The idea of uniforms has come up, and we don't want to make that decision now. We want to wait until it can be sort of discussed in an open forum in possibly the town hall meetings with the students running the show, and then talking to parents and students and teachers about what's the best way to proceed. The discipline code is similar. I mean, there's a you know, New York City discipline code. But issues like hats and Walkmans and stuff like that, we hope to sort of open up those conversations.
That was Mark with the Bushwick School for Justice. I have a question in terms of community involvement to both of you, either Brenda or Mark. How do young people who aren't in the school maintain involvement with activist projects within Bushwick? Because I know that since Make the Road by Walking is sort of the tie-in to the community, they may focus their attention on the school now that it's being open. If a young person is already in 10th grade and they've, you know, already exceeded the limit to get in, how could they be involved? And also, what is the makeup of the faculty look like? Is it the people in the community that are representative for the students, or is it an all-white faculty? And if so, like, how does that work out?
Okay, maybe Brenda can speak to the first part of that question.
Do you want to restate the first part, Sean?
Yeah, the first part was in terms of community involvement. How would young people, for example, you're not going to be in the ninth grade class, but how will you maintain involvement, or are there young people who are interested in the work?
Basically, I'm going to maintain involvement. Like, I'm not sure, but maybe I'm have a part after school in an after school program, and Make the Road offers after school programs. Like, we have the newspaper, where a whole bunch of youth make their own newspaper. We have the poetry class. We have the refurbished spec. It's like a lot of opportunities for after school program where we actually show just on political justice inside those programs, making them, you know, have their own voice and their opinions. And me, I feel like, you know, it's fine. I'm going to make it. I'm going to be there every step by the way.
I'll add to that a little bit. I mean, one of the most attractive things and impressive and inspiring things about Make the Road by Walking is the work they do with youth, the newspaper that Lewis has worked on, and their other programs. And we hope to they'll be part of our after-school activities, and we hope to sort of feed some of our kids into those programs, depending on capacity at Make the Road. But those sorts of activities are certainly what we have in mind, and the activities at Make the Road by walking, of course, are open to everyone. Not, they wouldn't just be for our students. And the second part of the question.
The second part of the question. It was, what is the racial makeup of the faculty, and how does that play part in how the curriculum has been created and how the structure of the school will be, even in terms of disciplinary action?
Well, this is a tough question. The makeup of the faculty and the staff is somewhat mixed. It's not. I would say that the teachers are not necessarily from Bushwick area. I, for example, am white, and have worked in East New York for 5 years. It's a pretty fair breakup between male and female. We've had problems with recruiting. For example, we have a vacancy still for a science teacher, and we had trouble finding qualified candidates for math and science, and most of those candidates were the new fellows from the fellows program who don't have experience teaching. But the question of finding members of the community to work in the school is something that we've been wrestling with, and we hope to continue to work on, especially for next year as we expand.
And we're running pretty short on time, but Lewis had a few comments about the same topic. We were talking about representation before the show, so.
As a high school student myself in Bushwick, Brooklyn, I always felt uncomfortable sitting in a classroom listening to a teacher who wasn't part of my community or didn't have any type of relations to my struggles. And so as a teacher for the Bushwick School for Social Justice, just going with the phrase social justice and what does it mean within poor communities such as Bushwick, how do you feel being a teacher for the Bushwick School of Social Justice, working in a community that you're not from and working with kids who have to deal with these issues every day that maybe you're not related to or maybe not? I could imagine the struggle, you know, or the controversy with that, and that can also affect a student's academic behavior.
Right. Well, I've taught for about 5 years, and I taught GED in Washington for a year with dropouts and adults coming out of prison. And I guess the only way I can respond to a question like that is that I love teaching. I love working with urban youth. It's what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I'll do that wherever I can. The idea of helping to create a school, it was such a sort of overwhelming and wonderful opportunity, in part because of what I've seen happen to kids in schools that don't work very well. So I'm probably not answering the question, but I have a passion for teaching, and I want to do it wherever I can.
Okay, that was Mark Rush. Thank you, Mark and Brenda, both for joining us today. Again, you're with the new Bushwick School for Social Justice that will be opening in the fall. Good luck to you.
Thank you.